Hello and welcome to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is a Full Cup Cafe episode coming from our midweek service. So settle back for this week's teaching.
Good evening, everybody.
Good
to see y'all tonight and good to be together tonight. I want to ask you as we get started to bow with me for just a moment. Lord, I ask that you would settle us and allow us to focus on you and your word tonight and on the good gifts that you've given us, to focus on your promises and their fulfillment, to focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen. I want to ask you just to go with me to think about something that honestly is hard to think about, and that is our Lord before the beginning. Our Lord in eternity before the beginning ever happened. And I'd like you to listen for a minute, and if closing your eyes helps, if whatever helps, but I just want to ask you to focus a little bit as we think about God the Son and the fact that he has existed forever. Like I said, I have a difficult time getting my mind around that fact, but God the Son has existed forever. The Apostle John said, in the beginning. Micah, the prophet, said, from long ago, from the days of eternity. The infinite expanse of the endless universe was his dwelling place. And he filled it. He never knew want. For everything that was necessary for his existence flowed from within himself. For he was life. He spoke the word, and the Milky Way spun in the palm of his hand. He sprinkled stars with his fingers. And with an attention for detail, he perfectly set the planets as jewels in a watch. And they moved with precision to record the first increments of time. His artistic genius, with his artistic genius, he splashed across the canvas of the earth a spectrum of colors and shapes that sprang from his imagination, with a myriad of living things that tumbled out of his sculpting hand into the splendor of his world. He never knew travel, because wherever it was, he was already there. He never knew confinement, for there were no boundaries. There were no limits. He knew no exhaustion, no hunger, no thirst, no suffering, no pain. For the immense, infinite God the Son, that's how it was in the beginning. And then, if that's hard to grasp, and then in the fullness of time, he humbled himself. And he entered into a single cell and confined himself to a mother's womb. And he was born into this world that he created with all of the limitations of a newborn infant. And folks, there are many wonders, but that truly is a wonder of wonders. I imagine that the angels must have stood in awe. I imagine that the opposition, his enemies, must have been completely taken by surprise. I imagine that the universe gasped in disbelief. I imagine there must have been silence in heaven because it was unthinkable, and yet it was done. Philippians chapter 2. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. That word grasp means something to be held on to. In other words, he was willing to let it go. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Many unusual births have taken place in history. The Bible records several miraculous births, and I believe each one of them was paving the way and preparing people for the most unusual, most miraculous birth that God always had in mind and had planned. I think just a few that come to mind. You think of Samson. You think of Samuel. You think of John the Baptist. But there is one birth in Scripture that I think most foreshadows and points to the birth of Jesus. And that is the birth of Isaac. God seems to have taken very special interest in this child to be born, Isaac, this promised son. Besides the birth of Jesus, there is no other birth in all of Scripture that's talked about more. And besides the birth of Jesus, I don't think there's any birth in Scripture that is anticipated more than Abraham and Sarah longing for this promised son to be born. It's been 25 years now since Abraham left Ur and came to a land that God said he would show him. And during that quarter of a century, many times God has made promises to Abraham that he would become a great nation, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the dust of the earth. And yet through all of it, Abraham still did not have a son. The promised child had not come. If we go back and look through and trace that, first of all, Abraham brought up Eliezer, his steward, and said, God, is it going to have to be my steward that is my heir because I've not had a son? And God said, no, it's not going to be your steward. And God said something a little more specific this time, and he said, no, it's going to be a son that comes from your own body that's going to be your heir. And then time passed on, and still the promise seemed to be unfulfilled. And Sarah suggested to Abraham, go and take my servant, and through her, you'll have a son for me, and that is the way it will happen. And God said, no, that is not my plan. Ishmael was born, but that is not my plan. And Abraham even later said, but God, would you at least consider giving your blessing to Ishmael? Couldn't it be Ishmael, God? And God said, no, that's not my plan. And he was a little more specific again. And he said, no, the promise, the son of promise is going to come through Sarah. And God said his name is going to be Isaac. And when Abraham heard that, he laughed. And then God appeared to Abraham and to Sarah along with two visitors. And he was even more specific. And he let Sarah know that in 9 months, I'm going to come back. And when I do, you're going to have had a son. And upon hearing that news, Sarah laughed. And now after 25 years, this long anticipated, long awaited, long expected promise from God Almighty is about to arrive. Genesis chapter 21, the first 6 verses. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave him the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this is going to laugh with me. Rather than a sermon tonight, I just want to make some observations. Larry's sermon series on Sunday mornings has reminded us that God has had a master plan. And that plan, God has been unfolding that plan and been working out that plan since the beginning. And the Bible lays out glimpses of that plan along the way. And it's going to be according to God's timetable, and it's going to be in the fullness of time. But I want to take a moment tonight just to look at this birth of Isaac and the parallels that exist with the birth of Isaac and the birth of Jesus. The foreshadowing that I mentioned earlier, the pointing toward that the birth of Isaac does for pointing us toward Jesus. And there are several parallels that I just want to draw your attention to tonight. And the first is Isaac and Jesus. Both of these were sons of promise, specific promise from the mouth of God. Both of these were sons of promise. Genesis 18 lets us know that God says over and over he's promised his son, but God says in Genesis 18, this is when it's going to happen. I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Over in Isaiah chapter 7, later on, God is again specific about making a promise for a son. And he says, therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaac and Jesus both were sons of promise. Another parallel is that when the announcement of their birth was made, it was questioned by the mothers. Sarah said, she laughed to herself and she said, after I am worn out and my master is old, I'm going to now have this pleasure? She questioned, how in the world can this happen? In Luke chapter 1, Mary also asked the question, and she asked the angel, how will this be? I've never been with a man. I'm still a virgin. And I love that God answers both the questions. Because another parallel between these two births is that in both questions, God makes almost the exact same answer. And he confirms his ability to do anything that he wants to do, any way that he wants to do it. And he says to Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? And he says to Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. And these births prove that. They're both miraculous. Both of the births could not have happened physically in any way that we would know to make them happen. They could not happen. They could only happen by the hand of God. And Again, Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. This couldn't happen without God. And for Mary, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they ever came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Again, Isaac pointing toward and preparing us for the Messiah and the birth of Jesus. They were both born at the appointed time. And it was God's appointed time, not anyone else's appointed time. No one else could rush it. No one else could change it. No one else could slow it down. God was in control, and God knew the appointed time and the appointed hour. God knew when things would be right. Genesis chapter 21 says, Sarah became pregnant and bore to son in Abraham at the very time that God had promised. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, but when time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman. God's known all along. He had it planned out all along. And when the time was right, when the time was full, God fulfilled his promise. Both of these boys were named by God himself. He told Abraham, you're going to name him Isaac. And he told Mary and Joseph, you're going to name him Jesus. And I love that both of these births are surrounded by joy. Isaac's name means laughter. And when finally, at this ripe old age, Abraham and Sarah have this little boy, Sarah is just laughing with joy. And she says, this is so wonderful. His name is laughter. And everyone who comes into contact with this is going to laugh with us because this is such a joyous occasion. And the angels themselves come down from heaven to talk to shepherds and say, don't be afraid. This is good news. This is great joy. This is for all the people. And so both of these births brought joy because that's what God does when he works and when he brings goodness. Both of these boys were beloved by their father. Now, that may seem almost too obvious to say, but I think there's some significance in Scripture that the word love is never used in Scripture until it's used of Abraham and his love for Isaac. Genesis 22, and then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. That had never been said before. Until that moment, talking about Abraham and his love for this son that he had waited so long for. And then the moment in Matthew when God speaks from heaven after Jesus has been baptized and says, this is my son whom I love and in whom I am well pleased. And so both of these were beloved by their father, and both of these boys, both of these promised sons, were obedient even to death. And I think of all the parallels, this is the one that is most striking, and we'll spend more time on it in a few weeks. But Abraham is called by God to sacrifice this son that he loves, to sacrifice this son that he has waited for, to sacrifice this son that God has finally given him. And both of these sons are bound, and both of these sons are offered up on an altar. Genesis 22, when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And to continue in Philippians 2, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. God spared Abraham's son, but he did not spare his own son. Jesus was obedient to death, and his life was given for our life. And this, even more than the birth, was the culmination of God's master plan that he had been working for all along. It was for this reason that he was born, so that he could die. But thanks be to God, God made him alive again. And 3 days after Isaac was laid on that altar, he returned home to those he loved, because it was a 3-day journey. And 3 days after Jesus died on that cross, he returned as well. And he is still alive today. We started by saying he has been alive forever. And he will be alive forever. Revelation 1:18 says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever and ever. So when God humbled himself, when he made himself in human likeness, when he confined himself for the first time in eternity, in a mother's womb, and in the mold of a man, he knew then it was only going to be for a short time. For 33 years, he bound himself that way. He limited himself that way. He existed in the way that we exist. He walked, and he talked, and he ate, and he interacted, and he was tempted in all of the ways that we are for 33 years. And then he died like a man as well. He died as a man, but he rose as a glorified Lord. And he ascended back to heaven. And to end with Philippians chapter 2, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Would you stand? He is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our King. He's our King. He is reigning over us, and he's our King. We adore and praise and lift up our voice to Jesus Christ, our King. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me. How I love him. He is risen. He is coming. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Alleluia. 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 Quickly, alleluia. I thank you for your whole story. I thank you for all that you have revealed to us, and we know so little about you before the beginning, but we believe that you were. Thank you for your story as you revealed it in Scripture, for your plan all along. Thank you for choosing to work through and in us as part of your plan. Thank you for the birth of your Son. And there's so many reasons we love that part of the story, Lord. Just the newness, the joy of a little baby. Thank you for that part of your story. Thank you, Father, for every part of your story over the next 33 years as you lived perfectly and as you lived righteously. And you did that for us because we never could, but you did. You lived perfectly in your Father's will. You only said the things that He wanted you to say. You only did the things that He wanted you to do, and you did it for us. Thank you. We're moved by the part of your story where you gave yourself on the cross, where you allowed yourself, because no one could do it to you, but you allowed yourself to be nailed to the tree. You allowed yourself to be tormented. You allowed yourself to be shamed. You took on our sins. You bore that burden, that crushing burden of sin, and you breathed your last breath. And for 3 days, folks thought it was over. But we love the part of your story where on the first day of the week, you rose again. You came back to life. Death could not hold on to you. The grave could not hold on to you. You were raised by the power of God to life again, and you did that for us as well, because as your followers, we cling to the hope of everlasting life, that death has no hold on us. And we love the part of your story where you ascended back to the Father, back to your glory, back to your limitlessness, back to your splendor, back to your authority and your power. And we thank you that you sit there at this very moment, speaking on our behalf. And we look forward to the part of the story where you will come again and gather us home. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.